to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. I'm going to read that one more time. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. This verse is talking about the Lord Jesus, on why he came and what he came to do. And when he started his ministry, he stood up in the temple. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," he said, "to preach good tidings to the poor." And then he said, "God has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." There are three categories of people in this text, this verse. Maybe even the poor, the brokenhearted, and the captives. And then he goes on to give us a fourth one, the bound. The poor, the brokenhearted, the captives, and the bound. Praise the Lord. The truth is, man is lost without God, and whether we want to admit it or not, we all need him. And it's absolutely ludicrous to think that we can live our lifetime without him and everything be okay. See, everything has to always go back to its original owner. Even if something was manufactured by, a product was manufactured, if you want to know how the product works, you got to call or contact the manufacturer. You see, the reason why man is broken and poor and even in captive and even bound is because we have been separated from our God. And this is why we experience all these things. But Jesus says, "I have came to heal the brokenhearted, to preach good tidings or good news to the poor." And then he says, "to proclaim liberty to the captive." Now, when you are captive, that means something is holding you bound. And then he says, "the opening of the prison to those who are bound." I don't know what your prison is this morning. I don't know what has bound you, but Jesus sent me to tell you that he wants you on this line, on this phone, to be free. Can somebody say praise the Lord? In Psalms chapter 147, verse 3, turn there real quickly here. Psalm 147, verse 3. Psalm 147. Verse 3. I want to give you a moment to find that.
Amen.
Psalm 147, verse 3. It says, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." Now, I don't know about you, but you see, when a heart is broken, but it causes the person to be out of sorts. It causes a person to grieve. It causes a person to hurt. And life has a way of, I don't know about you, if you've been living a little while, then has life ever beat you up sometime? Have you ever wondered that you just don't know how you're going to make it to next week? Because your heart is so heavy, or sometimes you've experienced traumatic situations and circumstances that your heart has become broken, and you don't know if things can ever be the same. But God's word says he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And many of us have wounds that are still fresh and wounds that haven't healed yet. But God said, "I want to heal your wounds." And this is why people are hurting inside. And this is why people, you know, even want to come to church these days, because they are hurting. But I want you to know that Jesus is the only one that can heal us. He's the only one that can make things right in our lives. He's the only one that can put things in order. He is the only one that can make us whole and new again. He's the one that can make us want to wake up every morning. And without him, we don't have that strength to do that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. If I could sum up this entire message of the gospel, that many of us have different opinions about what the Bible says and who God is and church in general. But I want to help you this morning, because if I could give you one sentence or one phrase to describe what God is really all about, he is not about trying to give you a whole bunch of rules and regulations that you can't keep. He's not about trying to make your life, you know, miserable or where you can't have fun anymore. God is all about his love for you. That is what he is really all about. And if I could tell you or give you a description of the message of the gospel, I would say this: it is nothing but a love story. It is nothing but a love story. Hallelujah. I want to use for a subject this Sunday morning, in the form of a question: will you be right with God? Will you choose to be right with God? Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father in heaven, I come to you in the mighty name of your son Jesus, and I am so grateful that you allowed me to minister your word, Lord, to reveal to these people who you really are. Father, I ask that you anoint the words of my lips, that every word that would magnify and glorify you, God, that they would only see you and only you, that they would catch a glimpse of who you really are, God, that their lives will be changed, because you walked in this service, God, and you healed us and you touched us like no other one can. In the name of Jesus, let everybody say amen. Thank you, Father. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10, please. Luke chapter 10. That's going to be our main text this morning. Luke chapter 10. Give me just a minute to get there. Luke chapter 10. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your peace, Father. I am so grateful, God, to serve you and to serve your people this morning. Luke chapter 10. Excuse me. Let me see where I want to go here. Verse 25, Luke 10, verse 25. Luke 10, 25, please. Let me know when you're there by saying amen.
Amen.
Luke 10, 25. And the Bible says, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, this is not a lawyer as we know it. This is not a judicial lawyer. But the lawyer at this time was known as a lawyer or scribe of the law. That means it was an expert in the law of Moses. Well, what is the law of Moses? The law of Moses is none other than the Ten Commandments. So this individual was a very religious person that studied the law of Moses and was considered an expert in the law. Amen. Stay with me. You would think that this religious person that asked the Lord a question, that the motive behind the question would be good. The question itself is a good question. However, the motive behind it, we're going to find out shortly, was not. Amen. Stay with me. So he asked the Lord a question. As a matter of fact, notice in verse 25, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him. Well, the word tested there is basically saying that his motive was not right. His motive was to, trip him up or basically come against his purpose. It said the lawyer tested him. But if you wanted to use the analogy of a lawyer like we know it today, and that's okay, we could do that. He was wanting to put Jesus on the witness stand. Hallelujah. How many know you can't put God on the witness stand? You can't put Jesus on the witness stand. So Jesus flipped the table. He says, no, I'm going to put you on the witness stand.
Amen.
Jesus basically answered a question with a question. Amen. Because he knew that his heart wasn't right. Thank you, Lord. So here we are. Jesus put him on the stand. And how many know that Jesus knows all things? And Jesus also knew that the man was an expert in the Mosaic law of Moses, in the Ten Commandments. And I want to, before I continue, I want to set the stage here. This event took place before Jesus died on the cross. So the question arises, can this man be saved underneath the law? Can he be saved underneath the law? Well, we know that God gave man, back in the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments. But the law was so strict that you couldn't, in other words, you had to keep all ten in order to be right. If you kept nine and broke one, you were still guilty. Isn't that something? So to answer the question, the man could have been saved by keeping the law, but God basically is going to let us know through Scripture that man really couldn't be saved by the law, because God knew that man couldn't keep the law. But he sent the law to show us that we needed his help. And if you hadn't figured it out by now in your life right now today, if you actually think that you can make it without God, then good luck with that. Because I figured that out a long time ago. I absolutely, unequivocally cannot make it without him. So God basically sent the law to show man that they really could not keep the law, and therefore they needed his help. Thank you, Father. God is saying it's impossible because no one can keep the law. In Galatians 2, verse 16, you can jot this verse down. Galatians 2, 16, it says, yet we know that a person is made right with God by following the law, but by trusting in Jesus Christ. Or not by following the law, but by trusting in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus that we might be made right with God because we trusted in Christ. It is not because we follow the law. It's because no one can be made right with God by following the law. So let's talk about the subject just for a moment. How can a man or woman be right with God? How can we really be right with God? This is the same question that the lawyer was asking Jesus back in Luke chapter 10. If you'll turn back there, he's saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? What a question. What shall I do to be right with God? What shall I do to go to heaven? What shall I do to get my life right with God? It's a question that most people aren't willing to even ask, because most people feel like, I know I can't do it. I know I can't do it. So I'm just going to live my life and do my own thing and hope everything works out all right. Well, listen, that's a very, very dangerous decision, because if you live your life and hope everything, listen, you can't hope you get to heaven. You got to know it. You can't hope that God loves you. You got to know it. Listen, we can't play games with God. We can't gamble with God. Why would you gamble with your eternal destiny? Some people think, you know what? I'm a good person. I don't kill. I don't steal. I don't hurt nobody. So why can't I go to heaven? Well, I didn't say you couldn't go to heaven, but God does have requirements to go to heaven. And it can't be by chance. It can't be by luck. It's only by his son, Jesus. But you can't really accept Jesus until you take a hard look at your own life and realize that you have a need for Jesus. See, you got to know you have a need for God before you can move forward. If you sit up and say that I'm okay the way I am, then all that is, it's going to keep you away from God, because you haven't came to the foot of the cross and realized what God has done for you. Do you actually believe that God sent his only son to die for you, for you to basically sidestep him and go to heaven without him? How can you sidestep something so horrific as a death on a cross? How can we sidestep the fact that Jesus gave his own blood for us? So now, if we're going to talk about his blood that he gave, then we need to understand why he gave the blood. Why did he give his blood? Because there was a need. Somebody say need. There was a need for our sins to be forgiven. So the lawyer is asking Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus answered the question with a question. He says, what is written in the law? Verse number 26. He says, what is your reading of it? Oh, man. He said, wait a minute. He says, you are expert of the law. You study the law. How do you read it? So he answered, watch this, verse 27. So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. He's quoting, I believe it's the first commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. And then, after you do that, help me, Lord, love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, God, we're going somewhere. Verse 28, and he said to him, you have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. In other words, if you do this, you're going to heaven. You're going to make it. If you do this, hallelujah. If you just do these things, you're going to make it. Verse 29. Follow me closely. But he, waiting to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Notice the words. He wanting to justify himself. And this is society today. We want to justify ourselves. We want to say, I can go to heaven the way I am. Help me, Lord. Let me help you this morning. Jesus told him what he needed to do to go to heaven. If you keep the first commandment. But if he was honest, he wouldn't have justified himself. And this is what we do today. We don't want to be honest with God. We don't want to say, I need you, God. My life is a mess. We don't want to say, I got some bad habits. I got some things I ain't willing to give up. I got places I like to go and people I like to do it with. Would you agree with me? You know, listen, I'm not preaching down to nobody because I used to be like that myself. You see, when you don't have God as Jesus at the head of your life, that means that listen, you either have him or you don't. There are no in-betweens. He is either your savior or he is not. You are either in the kingdom of darkness or you are either in the kingdom of God. There are only two kingdoms. I know it's not popular, but it's still the truth. But you can choose which kingdom you want to be in. You can choose to stay in the kingdom of darkness or you can choose to go with God and get in his family. But you got to make that choice. The lawyer had to make a choice, and he didn't make that choice. He sits back, and he justifies himself. And that's what people do today. They justify why they don't want to go to church. They justify why they don't serve God. Well, I believe in God, but listen, you either given God your heart or you have not. He sits back, and he justifies himself, and he says, I'm okay the way I am. I'm not a bad person. And this man studied the law. See, you can have religion and still not have God. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? You can have a church membership and still don't know God. All because your parents knew God. The question is, do you know him? Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? We got to know God and not guess, and not hope we know him, not hope we're saved. You got to know you're saved. He's trying to justify himself and Jesus. And you know what he does? He tries to sidestep it. He says basically, and who is my neighbor? What he should have said is, this is what he should have said. When Jesus said, if you keep this first commandment, if you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, what he should have said was, I can't love God with all my heart. I can't love God with all my mind. I can't love my neighbor as myself. I've tried, but I can't do it. That's what he should have said. And listen, and then he would have been right. See, the whole purpose that God gave the Ten Commandments was for man to look at them and say, I can't do this. I can't live a godly life. I can't be a Christian man or Christian woman. You're right, you can't, but God can. But he can't do it for you until you're willing to admit you can't do it without him. Who am I helping this morning? He should have said, I can't do it, God. I've been trying, I can't do it. And then Jesus would have said, you're right, you can't. But I'm going to help you from this day forward. And now you're going to be a new man. You're going to be a new woman. Because when I do it, you hear what I'm saying? When love shows up in your heart, in your soul. The song this morning was talking about love. These people are worshiping God. The reason why they worship God and they love God, because they know him. And the reason why they worship him, church, is because he has changed their life. I promise you, whoever's listening right now, if you let God get a hold of your life will be so much better. My God, it'll be so much better. It'll be so good for you. It'll be so good for you. If you let God love you the way he wants to love you, if you just say, Lord, I just raise my hand and do whatever you want to do in my life. and then you'll be changed. And I'm going to tell you one thing. When God changes you, it is a real change. Are you hearing me? It is a change that completely makes you different from that day forward. It's a change on the inside. It's hard to explain, but when love comes in, all the hate and the bitterness and all the depression goes out. I'm trying to help you this morning. Thank you, Father. I want you to know that love is so real. It's not a game. He didn't give his son Jesus just to make you a religious fanatic, you know, person who basically praise the Lord all the time. No, he gave you Jesus so you can be transformed from the inside out, that everybody who meets you knows something is different about you. You are not like everybody else. Something is different. And the reason why it's different is because God lives inside of you now. Can somebody say praise the Lord? Luke chapter 10, verse 30. So Jesus is going to basically deal with, he's going to try to help this man. Oh, man, God is so wonderful. You know, he could have just called him out and said, you know what, you ain't ready for me yet, and I'm not going to waste my time with you. But you know what he did? He stood right there. He says, okay, let me tell you a story. As a matter of fact, when Jesus told a parable in the Bible, the parable, some people think it was just a story that he made up, but actually, it actually was a real life situation that happened back in his day. So when you see parables in the Bible, it's not some fairy tale that somebody just came up with. It actually happened. So Jesus is telling him a parable that actually happened. In verse number 30, this is what it says in Luke chapter 10. Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii. He gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? Jesus is now asking him a question after he told him the parable. And then the lawyer said, and he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. Hallelujah. Well, this parable speaks to us today, because inside of this story is also God himself, man, and those are the two main characters. You see, if God is the creator of the heavens and the earth, you got to understand that he created all that we see. And at some point, he's going to wrap everything up. And I know we want to think the world just goes on and on and on forever and ever and ever. And I know we don't want to believe what the Bible says about Jesus coming back, but well, you can not believe it or not, but it doesn't make God's word not true. But I want to promise you this, that at the end of the day, there are only two main characters in life. You have God and you have man. Amen. Just two. I say main characters. And if you want to add a third one, you could add Satan in there. I don't even want to give him, you know, any kind of role, because he's really not even significant if you ask me. But if you have God, and then you have man. So in this text, it says a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. Well, it's just like man, isn't it? Because man was created by God and put in the Garden of Eden and given a responsibility to take care of the garden. And also, this is very important. Man was created in God's image after God's likeness. You see, this is why man is so precious to God, because we were created in his image and after his likeness. But something happened after man was created. And we know the story. We know that the Eve, you know, ate of the fruit and she gave she was deceived by Satan. And then, of course, they both fell. So my point is, in Luke 10, verse 30, there was a fall. And that fall is also symbolic of the fall that happened to man in the garden. And then it says, he fell among thieves. Well, the thieves in this text is symbolic of Satan himself, because Satan deceived man, because Satan, if Satan knew that he couldn't fight with God, so he tried to go deal and steal something from man. And we know that Satan stole something from man, because man fell in the garden, and all of a sudden, after the fall, man goes from fellowship and love relationship and intimacy to being separated from God, where God had to go calling out, Adam, Adam, where are you? Where are you, Adam? Well, God is calling man today, where are you? I'm calling you. I promise you, every single human being on this planet, the call of God is spoken to them. God is calling everybody to him because he loves them. He wants them to be saved. He wants them to be a part of his family. But we must choose life or death. God says, choose life. Don't choose death. Choose life. So the scripture says, he fell among thieves and he stripped him of his clothing and wounded him. Matter of fact, it says that left him for half dead. But I want to say this, man was more than half dead. Man was dead, because man, remember, God said, the day of you eat of that fruit, you shall surely die. You shall surely die. God was saying, you're going to be dead spiritually. You're going to be alive physically, but you're going to be dead spiritually. In other words, you won't be able to hear my voice anymore. The most terrible situation is not bankruptcy. It's not, you know, divorce. It's not, you know, some traumatic incident in your life. It's not even rape or incest. The most egregious sin isn't the worst thing that can happen to a person. The worst thing that can happen to a human being is they be permanently, eternally separated from God. That's the worst thing. Separate from God. Remember, Adam was lost after he ate the fruit. He said, where are you? And then Adam said, I was afraid when I heard your voice. Well, you remember that Adam was never afraid before, but now he was afraid, because now he wasn't comfortable with God. And I know some people on this line right now aren't comfortable with God, because they never asked Jesus to save them. You're going to feel uncomfortable until you are willing to get right with God. Listen, we all have to get right with God And there's only one way to do that. We get right with God when we accept his forgiveness. When we ask forgiveness of our sins, when we accept Jesus as our Savior and admit that we need him. See, the lawyer didn't want to admit that he needed God. Instead, he tried to justify himself. And that's everybody, most people today who refuse to believe in God, they want to believe that I'm okay because of my college degree. I'm okay because of my success. I'm okay because of my family. I'm okay because I believe I'm a good person. I don't care if you believe or not. I believe I'm a good person. You can believe all you want to. You also can believe your way to hell if you're not careful. Because the scripture says all unbelievers will be thrown into the lake of fire. All unbelievers. Unbelievers in what? Unbelievers in God. Unbelievers in Jesus. Unbelievers cannot go to heaven. Hallelujah. So we see the devil wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead, the robbers and the thieves. And this story actually happened because there is a area in Palestine where the priests and the Levites used to go back and forth on the temple, or basically to and from the temple to pray. It was like a downward steep. And basically, as you walk down from Jerusalem to Jericho, there was a lot of thieves hanging out there. And so this Jewish man gets robbed, and he gets wounded, and he is half dead. And these priests and Levites going to and from the temple, religious folk, listen, I've been saved a little while, and I've been around a lot of people who say that they're Christians. I really don't go by what people say. I go by the fruit on the tree. The scripture says you will know them by their fruit. You see, an apple tree grows apples, a pear tree grows pears, and so on and so forth. See, a pear tree doesn't grow lemons. So if you say you're saved, then there should be fruit in your life proving that you're saved. Can somebody say praise the Lord? Thank you, Lord. So here we go. Verse 30. Well, now by chance, a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, and then, of course, he's going to go on and say the same thing about a Levite. So you have the priest and the Levite in verse 31 and 32. They pass this man up, and they don't even stop to see about him. Matter of fact, they actually go look at him, and then they keep on walking. We live in a dog-eat-dog world, and if you don't believe that, a lot of people don't even care about you. People won't stop to help you. I mean, because everybody's afraid to stop to help somebody because it's too dangerous. So, listen, everybody is only looking out for themselves. And that's the kind of society that we live in. But then Jesus is going to tell you what mindset or what the Samaritan is. He says, verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. I want to tell you that the Samaritan is actually Jesus in the text. Not literally, but he's telling him the story, but it also has a lot of symbolism in it. Like, for example, the Samaritan is actually Jesus, because Jesus came where he was. Jesus left heaven, and he comes to earth to save man that had fallen, that had failed. Man had failed and couldn't get up. Man was robbed by the devil. So verse 34, so he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil on and wine, and he set him on his own animal. Matter of fact, think about it. If he gives him his horse, then that means he has to walk. He gives him his horse. He pays his bill. He puts bandages on him. He heals his wounds. I don't know about you, but my life was a complete mess before I met God. I had wounds that couldn't be healed, and Jesus healed my wounds. And that's what he wants to do when he saves you. He heals your wounds. He heals your hurts. He sets things in order in your life. Pouring oil and wine and set him on his animal and brought him to an end and took care of him. You see, when Jesus takes care of you, when God takes care of you, you never forget it. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? You never forget the times where your life was so messed up and nobody knew it but you and God. And he actually showed up and started taking care of you. And you knew it was him and nobody else. What does it do to you? It causes you. It causes you to love him. It causes you to respect him. It causes you to see him differently. And you realize that you have a friend that will never leave you. And you realize that you have no business living your life without him. Let me tell you, church, I was so glad to be saved. And right now, as I sit here to you, I am so glad that I'm saved. I am so glad that I have love in my heart. And listen, it's not because I'm a good person, but it's only because of God. When you let God work on your soul, he will make you the man or woman you need to be. He will heal you. He will restore you. He will comfort you. He will take good care of you. Hallelujah. We're running from the one that we should be running to. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? We need to run to God. And when God called out, and he said, "Where are you, Adam?" He said, "Where are you?" Adam said, "I was afraid when I heard your voice." And the Bible says they were hiding from God with fig leaves. And then he said, "I was afraid." And then he talked about him being naked. God said, "Who told you that you was naked? Who even told you was naked to begin with?" It's funny how things get out of balance without God. See, without God, everything's shaken up. Ain't nothing right in a marriage without God. Ain't nothing right in a business without God. Ain't nothing right with your kids without God. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? With God, we have it all. Because then we have order. Then we have purpose. Then we have God's plan for us. We have everything we need with him because he's taking care of us. Somebody say, "God, take care of me."
God, take care of me.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine and set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, he departed. He took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you." Do you know that 2 denarii was worth 2 days' wages of labor, 2 days of wages? Let me tell you something. I don't know what you need in your life, but every single thing you need, God can meet your need. But it's more than him just meeting your needs. He wants to have a relationship with you. And this is why you saw the people on the video worshiping God. Those people have a relationship with God. This is why churches raise their hands to God, because they love him. And let me tell you something. When you experience God's love, you will love him back. The reason why you can't worship him, the reason why you can't praise him, is because you really haven't known him yet. All you're doing, you're acting like the lawyer. You're justifying yourself. If you keep doing that, you can't experience his love. You can't experience his love. The whole message of the gospel is nothing but a love story. God so loved the world. God so loved the world. Every single person on this planet, God says, I love each one. I want each one to be with me. I want each one not to go to hell. I want each one to come and be a part of my family. But we got to choose that path. He can't make you do it. You got to choose it for yourself. Lord have mercy. I remember when I was going through, I had gone through a divorce, a bad divorce. Some of you didn't even know that. I was young in the military and married this girl I shouldn't have married, and life was a mess, and she ran off and with some other guy. And while I was deployed and spent all my money, put me in bankruptcy. I mean, I had to go in bankruptcy status, everything. All of my credit was shot. My heart was crushed, and I'm sitting there thinking, how did this happen? Why me? I didn't know God, but God started slowly drawing me to himself, and I kept being invited to church, and I would decline the invitation to go. People was inviting me to church, and I wouldn't go. And finally, I thought to myself, maybe I should give God a try, because I tried everything else and I was miserable. I've tried a lot of women. I've tried a little bit of drugs. I've tried that stuff and things wasn't right in my life. God was calling me. I didn't even know it. And I found myself talking about God to people. I was just talking about God, and you know, I would just start thinking about different questions. Well, what happens when I die? All these different things I was thinking about, because what was happening was God was slowly pulling me to him. He was trying to get my attention. Whose attention is God trying to get on this line today? And finally, I realized, I said, I need to go to church. I need to go to church. I need to go to church. And I went. And I will never forget this. I heard the sermon preached about Jesus and all that he did and how he died for me. And I'm sitting there in a crowd of people and I'm trying to understand, why is it I'm just now hearing this? And I felt bad because I knew I needed something in my life. And the pastor, he gave me a call, and I couldn't wait to go down there. I didn't even know why I was going. I didn't know why I went, but I knew I had to go. And I went down front, and they prayed with me, and I got saved then. And I knew I couldn't explain it, but something happened inside of me. I was the same on the outside, but something happened on the inside. And then I felt God's love all over me. And I just wanted to learn more about God. I wanted to know him, really know him. See, Christians have to really want to know God. You can't pretend. Listen, don't just do things just because it's right. Do it because you want to know about God. Don't just go to church, but go to church to learn. Read your Bible when you're at home, and God will speak to you. And that's what I did. I opened up my Bible in my dorm room, and I began to read the scriptures, and all of a sudden, God started speaking to me, and nobody else was in the room. And I'm sitting there in an empty room, and tears flowed down my face because God started speaking to me. My God, he spoke to me. And he spoke to me, and he spoke to me, and he showed me the truth, and he told me what life was really about. And then I knew then that I had found everything I needed I knew I found everything I needed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let me wrap this up. Let me wrap this up. Bear with me. Thank you, Father. Turn to John chapter 3. I'm almost done. John chapter 3, verse 3. St. John chapter 3. Not 1 John, St. John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. So John 3, verse 3. I want you to see something. John 3, verse 3. Hallelujah. Almost done. John 3, verse 3. When you're there, say amen. I'm waiting on you to say amen when you get there.
Amen.
I'm going to go ahead and get started. John 3, verse 3, it says, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And the word see there means actual perception. It means in reality. You see, we think that most people think heaven is a myth. It's just a fantasy. It's not real. We think that, see, the problem with man only sees what's in front of them, not realizing their need for God. You see, if you only see what's in front of you, you would take lightly the reality of the truth. The reality of the truth is that God is real and that we need him and that he wants all men to come to him. Well, Jesus said that we must be born again for us to go to heaven. That is a requirement. You cannot go to heaven unless you've been born again of the Spirit. That means that you have to experience a new birth in your spirit man. And you can't work it up. You can't join a church. It has nothing to do with that. It's real. It is an experience. And how do you become born again? One word, believe. Once you believe, the Bible says you shall be saved. If you just believe, Jesus said, all you gotta do is believe that he died for you. And then you accept his death for you. But you can't do any of that until you look at yourself and say, Lord, I am a sinner. And I need you to save me. Hallelujah. I'm closing. Turn over to, let's see, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but in that chapter, very familiar chapter, love is patient, love is kind, and it talks about love and different things like that. Well, listen, God is love. God is love. If we have God in our life, we have all that we need. And God loves you. He loves me. And if you understand anything about this message this afternoon, remember his love for you. As a matter of fact, I would dare to say, what keeps me saved is not the fact that I study scripture. What keeps me saved, church, and what should keep you saved, or even make you want to be saved, is when you experience God's love in your life. When you see that he loves you even when you fail, even when you fall, even when you struggle, he loves me at my worst point. And with that makes you love him. I'm about to close. There was a woman that was caught into the act of adultery. And we've heard this story before, but the Bible says that all the men underneath the law, because the law said that if you committed adultery, you will die. And so all these men gathered around her, and they had stones in their hand, and then they bring the woman to Jesus. And they're about to stone this woman. She was caught in the act of adultery. And we know that the question is, they thought that Jesus was going to give them permission to stone her, or basically, I don't know what they thought. I guess they wanted to see what Jesus was going to say. Well, the Bible says that Jesus didn't say nothing. He just sat down. It says that he kneeled down and he started writing in the dirt. And some say that he actually was writing down the names of the people that were there, or maybe even their sins that they have committed. Some say that, but no one knows what he was writing. And so Jesus looks at them. He says, "He that is without sin, cast the first stone." He that is without sin, cast the first stone. And then they all looked around, looked at each other, and then they began to think about sin in their own life and how they had fallen short. And everybody that had the stone in their hand dropped it, because everybody was thinking about something that they had did in their lifetime. And then they all left, and so the woman was there with Jesus, and he was all by himself, and he looked at the woman. He says, "Woman, where are your accusers?" And the woman said, "They're not here, Lord." And then he said something to her. He says, "Neither do I condemn you." And then he says, "Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more." You see, he forgave her just like he forgives man, just like he forgave Adam, just like he saves the world, just like he wants us to come back to him. God, listen, God loves us. He loves each one of us. He forgave the woman, but he told her, "Go and sin no more." See, we can't serve two masters. We can't say, "I know God," but then we live in like hell, you know, during the week. We can't be a Christian and then also be the old man or woman that we used to be. You can't do both. The Bible says, "Choose this day who you will serve." We all have to make a choice. But really, the choice is simple, because you can choose life or choose death. And then lastly, there was a woman in scripture that basically was a prostitute. And she obviously had a life of prostitution, but one day she heard Jesus preaching, and her life was just transformed, all because she was in the presence of him. She felt his love, and you know, the Bible says that she gave her heart to Jesus on the spot. And you know, I believe one day another story happened. Basically, she came, I think her name was Mary Magdalene. She came, Jesus was over somebody's house, and she interrupted the dinner, and she walks in, and she begins to cry at the feet of Jesus. And as she shed her tears, the Bible says that she used her hair to wipe the tears off of his feet. And of course, the other men that were there began to say, "Well, if he knew who she was, he would have asked her to leave." But Jesus goes on to tell them, "Because she sinned much, she loves much." You see, when you realize the kind of person that you used to be, or maybe the person you are, and when you experience God's forgiveness in your life, and how he loves you, how he wants to change you, and all these things, the Bible says, "He who is forgiven much loves much." See, this is how you love God so much, because you remember all the things that he forgave you about. And you love him more and more and more, and you never forget it. As we close, Thank you, Lord, for your word today. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for the word. I honor your name for your truth. I honor you for your goodness. I honor you, God, that you are alive and well, and that you are truly there to love on us and to give us all we need in our life. All we got to do is just keep you first in our lives, Lord. I'm grateful for the opportunity to share the word today. And I pray that the words will be received and that these people on this line and on this phone will come running to you and running to you and say, Lord, what must I do to be saved? And say, Lord, I love you and I appreciate you and I just want you to just continue to keep me, Lord. So, Father, we thank you today for who you are and for what you're doing and for what you're going to do. We appreciate you, Lord, with all of our hearts. Keep us during this pandemic. Strengthen our families. Strengthen our children, Lord. Protect us from hurt, harm, and danger. The Lord bless and keep us. His face shine upon us and give us peace. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray amen and amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Listen, before I let everyone go, I do want to mention giving because giving is important. PresentHopeForYou.com is our webpage. You can give there. PresentHopeForYou.com. Please be consistent in your giving to God because this ministry runs by your gifts, by tithe and offering. I am not a preacher that's all about money, God knows, but it does take money to run ministry. Amen. It does take money to run ministry. It does. Our church is believing God for a new building, for a building. Amen. Right now, we're currently renting space at the Anchorage Senior Center, but we need to get our finances in line to be able to get into a building as soon as this, shortly after the pandemic lifts. I pray. I'm believing God within the year that we will be in a building. Amen. So, but I need everyone to stay faithful as they give to God. Because every cent that you give, every single dollar, every single cent goes to our account for this ministry. To God be the glory. I pray you are blessed today. Amen. And any question, comments?
Hey, Pastor, I did try to give yesterday, but the website, there's something going on. I don't know. Okay. I did check today, though, but I'll definitely try to do it
Amen.
Again.
I'll look at that. I'll look at that. Thank you for letting me know. I'll make sure everything's okay. Thank you, sister.
All right. You guys have a good day. I'm about to head out of town.
Amen. Okay. God bless you. All right.
God bless you guys, too.
God bless you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Pastor.
Okay. You're welcome. You're welcome.
All right. Have a wonderful day.
I will. God bless you.
Amen. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Pastor.
You're welcome, Rhonda. I love you, girl.
I love you more.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And for all of our visitors, thank you for joining us. Please come back next Sunday or even Thursday night. If you're interested in that, you can text me your information and I will add you to the distro so you can receive the invites for a 1 hour Bible study every Thursday night from 7 to 8 Alaska time. So, and then of course Sundays at noon. Amen. Thank you.
Can you spell out quickly the website for Present
yes. Yes.
Hope for you.com?
Yeah, Present Hope. PresentHope, the number 4,
okay.
the letter U.com. Okay. PresentHopeForYou.com.
Thank you so much.
Amen. You're welcome. I love you. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
I just wanted to say thank you, Pastor, for sharing.
Thank you. Thank you, sister. I definitely appreciate your prayers. Continue to pray for me. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Your testimony brought tears to my eyes, and I was happy to hear it.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you. Have a good day.
I will. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
What's going on, Pastor? I'm here.
I know. That's true. Amen.
I usually pop up towards the end, so you got a couple more on the line, so we'll definitely catch up.
Yeah, let me call you back. I'll just call you back here in a few minutes when I get off.
Okay.
I'll call you right back, Gil.
All right.
All right. Love you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Let me get your, okay, let me do that. Okay, Mom, can you hear me? Okay, I can't hear you, but it's fine, though. It's all right. Destiny, are you on the line?
You hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you.
Okay, all right, because I know I've been really talking to you. I didn't have myself completely unmuted.
It's okay. It's all right.
But I was able to see everything and hear everything. I saw all of the videos and all.
Oh, that was good. I'm glad you did. Did you like it?
I did. I enjoyed it very much.
Awesome. That's good. That's good.
I just hadn't finished unmuting myself. I just saw the button. It popped up.
No, it's fine. It's good. It's all right.
Yeah, because I know you couldn't hear me because I kept on hollering, I enjoyed the service, Pastor.
It's all good. It's all good, Mama.
I know you're tired, baby. I just wanted to make sure you heard me, and I tell you I enjoyed the service very much, and I love you very much.
Amen. Thank you, Mama. I appreciate it.
Yeah, all right.
You too. We love you, too.
Okay.
Have a good day, okay?
All right, you too.
All right, love you. Bye-bye.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Destiny, are you there? Can't hear you.
Yes.
Hello. Hello. So did you enjoy the service, sister?
Are you talking to me or is there?
Oh, this is, I'm sorry, Preston. Preston, oh, you're on here. Okay.
Yeah.
Preston, I had one more person on, but it's fine though. Let's see if she's still on here. Maybe she is, maybe she's. Destiny, are you there? Okay. So maybe she had to go. All right. It's okay. Okay, brother, let me. All right, I'm here.